All right, for today's episode, I'm going to get into my finance bag just a little bit. I love talking about finances with my friends, and I find that there's a lot of things people just don't really understand or really know about, things that I would consider pretty basic, like a 401k, to things that are obviously a little bit more niche and nuanced, like investing, right? But today I want to talk about how I manage my finances overall, talk about some of the financial people that I really admire, the work and books that I've read that I liked, little tips and tricks along the way. And then the biggest part of this conversation will really be around like how I automate my finances, how I pay my bills, and how I sometimes keep, and manage a budget as well. So to start, I want to talk about some of the financial gurus that I really like, and then one that I think I have some thoughts and opinions about. So I love Ramit Sethi, and I love Tiffany Alice. And Tiffany Alice is also known as the Budgetnista. I like how their advice has, it's updated, it's contemporary, it fits things for a modern world. I will say with any financial guru, there's none that I agree with 100% of the time. I think there is still a lot of capitalism within the bones of financial gurus, which makes sense. They work in finance. I understand that. But sometimes all of the, you know, I won't say Tiffany. I don't think I've heard her say anything kind of, you know, odd. But like, I know Ramit has definitely said things that are like, can be very pro-capitalism. That's just not my MO. So, but overall, I do really like their advice. So I kind of just want to like break down some of the high level things that I've learned from them. And then the last financial guru that I will touch on is Dave Ramsey, a very controversial figure, I feel, when it comes to financial gurus. He is obviously very pro-capitalism, very, very conservative, very, very Republican. And I do not agree with many of the things that he says. Even some of his financial advice, I think, is very outdated. You know, he talks a lot about the beans and rice diet, and he talks a lot about, you know, you have to live like no one else so you can live like no one else. I don't really agree with that. I think even if you do have a lot of personal debts, there is still a way to live your life without just being committed to, you know, quite literally living with nothing, not even going out for a meal to eat, right? So I don't agree with everything he says. He has a very, very pro-capitalism stance, you know, saying things even to the tune of like, down with the social, you know, just crazy stuff like that. So I do not agree with a lot of the things he says. However, the one thing I do really, really like from Dave Ramsey's teachings is the debt snowball. And the debt snowball is essentially you are paying off your smallest debts first to keep you motivated until you get to the bigger debts. He also talks about things like high interest versus low interest debts as well. So I will say I do like the debt snowball, and that has definitely helped me when I have gotten into some credit card debt. And I will say, you know, as I say in pretty much every episode, none of this is holier than thou. I quite literally just got myself out of a bit of credit card debt like this past month. And so this conversation is very much like we are both learning together. I am not in the financial place that I know I should be in at this point in my career. However, I feel like I am finally turning over a new leaf and getting real with myself about like, okay, what do I want to be? Who do I want to be? How can I be better and like stop repeating the same cycles? Because I think that's my biggest problem is I will just keep repeating the same financial mistakes over and over again. And I can impart all this great advice. And I know, you know, I know how to manage my finances. I know how to manage a budget. And then I just like won't do it. And then I find myself in a bad financial spot again. So working on that for sure. And I think that's just a lifelong process of, you know, really trying to just beat those habits. You know, when you have certain habits that are just really ingrained in you, it can be hard to overcome those. But let's talk about finances. So starting with Ramit Sethi. So one thing I love that Ramit Sethi has on his website, and all of these financial gurus have a ton of free information. I do have both of their books, Ramit and Tiffany. I really did enjoy Tiffany's book, The Budgetista, a lot. So I do highly recommend that one. But there's just a ton of great free free resources on their website. So Ramit, though, he has a really great budget tracker called the Conscious Spending Plan. And his is for a monthly breakdown of fixed expenses, debts, bills, etc. And then to kind of show you what you have left over and what you can kind of spend on the fun stuff. What I do is I actually break it down. So I'll download the original one from his website. And then what I'll do is I'll do it quarterly. So I have a sheet for each quarter and I create new tabs and I do each tab as a paycheck. And this has been a really great way for me to see exactly where my money is going and really deep dive into the nitty gritty. Now, when I was first creating this kind of budgeting plan, I was using Mint. And my gosh, do I miss Mint every single day. Mint was, you know, I don't even know if it's worth talking about because it doesn't exist anymore. But Mint was my favorite budgeting app because it was free to use and it had every single one of my accounts as well as everything I was spending. And it even had like lifetime data to show, you know, how much money, what my net worth was in this month, 5 years ago versus what it is today, how much cash I was spending, you know, a year ago today versus now, right? So I miss Mint. I was converted into Credit Karma. Credit Karma, what they got going on, to me, it's not as good as Mint, but it's still something. A lot of my friends will use Rocket Money, but I do believe that there is a subscription tier there, and that I'm not really into that. I don't really want to pay for a subscription, especially because I do feel like I have the basics down. So anywho, Ramit Sethi's Conscious Spending Plan is really what helped me see all of my bills in a very clear and easy way. You can modify it. That's what I've done as well. He has like the basic kind of, you know, rent, utilities, etc. I add every single line of things that I'm spending money on. My subscription services, like for example, my Apple Care, right? As well as my tennis sessions. They're not expensive, but I'm putting that in my bills because I want to see it line by line to see exactly how much these fixed expenses are every month. And so what I do is the sheet is great because it adds all of that up. And then what I do is I split that number in half, and that is how much I put towards my bills account each paycheck. So I have set up my finances in a way where essentially I am a month ahead on my bills. And I will say I was able to do that because when I moved into my apartment here in Los Angeles, I was coming from a rent-free life at my parents' house when I was living there during the pandemic. And so I was able to get a month ahead on my bills and basically put that in the account for the amount for, I paid, when I first moved in, I paid, obviously, you know, you have to pay first month's rent anyway. And then I was able to take the money I would have paid for rent that month, instead of spending it, I put it into the account for next month. And so you do have to be a month ahead on your bills to successfully do this. If you really get into the dates, there might be ways for you to, because I have done this with like new bills that have come on as I've lived here in LA. There is a way where it's like, okay, if your paycheck is like the 12th of the month, but your bill doesn't get taken out until the 19th of the month, then you can also do it that way. But that feels a little bit advanced. Figure that out on your own. But I think at a high level, setting up my bills in this way has been really great. So how my account is set up right now, I do use Wells Fargo. I know it's not the best, but honestly, I have never had issues with them and I've been a member with them. My parents set up my first bank account when I was like one or something. So my card literally says customer since 1998. You know, I'm probably going to stay with Wells Fargo because it just feels really complicated to try to switch over into a whole new financial institution. So how my account is set up is I have my main checking account tracks to my debit card. And then I have three additional accounts within that. So I have my bills account, which is where all of my automated finances go, all of my automated bills come out of. My rent, my utilities, my Wi-Fi, even like my Massage Envy membership also comes out of there as well. And then I have an account for yearly expenses, which we'll dive into, and then I have an account for gas and groceries. So let's start with that bills account. So that bills account, this is where automating your finances is gonna save your life. So on my rent website, I have auto pay set up. For some of my subscriptions that are like my Wix website, or like I mentioned, my Massage Envy, those actually get charged to my credit card. And what I have with my credit card is I set up an automated payment that is equivalent to the cost of everything that's coming off of that credit card. And I just pull that from my bills account. But every other website, utilities, Wi-Fi, et cetera, those come out of that bills account. And I really like doing it this way as well, because you're not seeing like surprise charges out of your checking account that you're spending money from. Because I know I have friends who will like just keep their rent money in their checking account, and then it gets taken out and they're like, oh wait, I overspent, right? So when I get paid, I have transfers set up that go to all three of those accounts that I had mentioned. So, and I get Wells Fargo has early payday. So I get my paychecks on Wednesday instead of Friday. And so basically Wednesday, my paycheck hits. By Thursday, all of my money has been distributed into the appropriate accounts. So for gas and groceries, I do $200 biweekly. And then for yearly expenses, it's only $29. And I'll get into more detail about what that is. And then bills account, it's like $1,500 or so on a biweekly basis that comes out of my paycheck. And so everything is automated. I don't even know what goes on in that bills account for real, because I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to touch it. And I will say doing the work to set all of this up has been so helpful when I was struggling with my mental health. I didn't worry about having to pay my bills. I didn't worry about, you know, how I was gonna do this or how I was gonna do that. And so it's a very like practical thing, but it can make a really huge difference, especially if you're someone who's really busy, or if you do go through maybe a rougher time in your life and you don't wanna have to worry about finances and making your rent on time. So let's get into that yearly expenses account. So my yearly expenses account, that is my Amex payment as well as my renter's insurance. So there, when I was going through my budgeting, one of the biggest things is I was kind of like finding these areas where there were like surprise payments coming up and what I could do to mitigate those issues. And so the two biggest surprise payments that came up for me were my Amex card as well as my renter's insurance, where they were kind of like payments because, again, they only happen on an annual basis, where I was simply just forgetting about them. And then when the time would roll around each year, I was like, oh, dang, I need to pull out, like, the Amex is expensive. It's like $700 a year. And so I remember it hit on my account once and I was like, oh God, like now I have to like pull $700 out of my savings randomly. And so mitigated that by basically just adding up what the cost of my Amex plus my renter's insurance is over the course of an entire year, and then breaking that number down into my biweekly paycheck. So it's only $29, so it doesn't even feel like that much of a difference. So that's been really helpful and great. Paid off my Amex. This was the first year of me actually doing this for my payments. Paid off my Amex this year. Breeze, not even worried about it because I already had all of the money saved up. And then lastly, my gas and groceries account. So that was another area where when I was getting paid, I felt like I was, you know, after I took out everything for savings and my bills, I was coming down to the wire and realizing like, oh, I need to get gas. I don't have money for gas. Now I'm putting it on my credit card. Now it's like I'm accruing debt that way. And so I decided and this is where I loved Mint, is I looked at Mint and I looked at a year of gas and grocery transactions. And then I just broke it down again to that biweekly number, which for me is 26 paychecks in a year. So I took that number overall, broke it down, divided by 26. And then I found roughly how much I was spending on gas and groceries over a 2-week period. And so I love that gas and groceries account because it has been so helpful when it's like, hey, because I'm not gonna lie, I still run down my checking account. You know, again, all of these conversations are not holier than thou. I do wanna get to a point where like my actual checking account is never going below a certain number, but I guess it's not so bad because like my bills aren't coming out of it, and like my gas and groceries aren't coming out of it. So like if that account hits zero, it's not gonna like jeopardize like if I can get to work, feed myself, go, you know, pay my bills, right? But it would be nice to not run that number down like I do typically. And so that has been really nice. So what I had found is like I would add, you know, not account for how much I was spending on gas and groceries. And so having that account separately has been really nice. And even one way I finesse it is like if I want DoorDash, because DoorDash doesn't come out of that grocery bill, right? That grocery account. That comes out of my checking. But one way I'll finesse is like, okay, instead of getting a DoorDash, what I can actually do is I can go to the grocery store and I can buy like a frozen meal or like something yummy or like get something from the deli and then use that towards, that can come out of the grocery. As long as I'm at the grocery store, it's coming out of the grocery account. So that has been really helpful. So overall, that is how I have set up my expenses and my budgeting. Now let's move on to savings. So my savings live in Ally Bank, and that's a high yield. They have a high yield savings account. And so I have two savings accounts with Ally, and they both have a 4% APY, which is your annual percentage yield. Annual percentage yield. And so it's really great about having a really high API. And 4% isn't even the highest on the market. But again, it's kind of one of those things where like, yes, I could transfer all my money to a new bank, but I don't really want to because it's a lot of effort and work. And then you have to like shut down the accounts, right? So I'm going to keep it in Ally. I know that there's some now that have like 5% or whatever it is. But what's great about that is that your money is earning money by just sitting in that bank account. And that has been like, there's been times where like I've literally gotten like $100 a month from having savings like with Ally. So I have two bank accounts in Ally. I have an emergency savings fund, and then I have what I just call my general savings fund. And what I really like about Ally is that they have different buckets. And so within that general savings fund, I will break it up for buckets. So I went to Europe this summer, so I had a Euro summer 2024 bucket. I have a Christmas bucket. I have a 30th birthday bucket. I do want to start saving for that now. So I have occasion bucket. So I'll put like money for like gifts or like weddings or birthdays in there. And so I will put money, I will organize it by those buckets to kind of help me know like, okay, yes, this is a big savings account, but here's where all the money is actually being allocated to. And I know people have more savings accounts than that. I think for me, the two party system, I think for me, the two savings account system is working for now. I think, you know, as I start thinking about things like buying a house or having a baby, can't think about that. I think I'll, you know, obviously we'll have to create some additional savings accounts, ideally probably like a savings account, like a joint account with a partner, right? So that is how I set up my finances. And I really love this system. It has been really great in terms of just how easy it is. It is going to take a little bit of work in the beginning, but once you get over the hump of just kind of organizing and seeing where all of your money is, seeing how it's organized, seeing where your money is going, it is such a great way to live. And I found that setting up my bills system by splitting my bills each paycheck has made a world of difference as well, because now you get to still budget on that biweekly basis rather than trying to budget one paycheck for an entire month. When I was right out of college, that's what I was doing. One of my paychecks was my rent, not even utilities or all my other bills. And I would use an entire paycheck for rent, and then I would live off of the other paycheck. And I kind of hated that because by the end of the month, you are broke. And so I really love this system. It makes it a lot easier to kind of spread your money out over the course of 2 weeks. And you know that money only needs to last you for 2 weeks. And so in my mindset, like my bank account isn't super full right now, but I get paid again on Wednesday. So I'm like, oh, perfect. I don't have to try to stretch it out until, you know, over the course of an entire month. All right. So I'm going to end our episode today there. Thank you so much for listening. I will continue to do episodes around financial topics. I definitely want to talk about investing and how I invest money, as well as, you know, debt, and maybe even have somebody come on to talk about their debt. I am not trying to be a financial guru. You know, I really just want to help people from a very high level and not be... My goal is not to be a financial guru, but I just want to help people in a really real way and just kind of, you know, talk about what has worked for me, kind of take and consolidate the information that I've learned from listening to a million podcasts from these financial gurus, reading their books, watching their YouTube videos, etc. All right, so I'm going to end it there. Thank you guys so much for listening. Signing off, I'm Jessica Johnson. See you next time.
In Jess We Trust.